Earlier this month, a new provincial Status of the Artist Act passed its first reading in the New Brunswick Legislature. The legislation, which has been over 10 years in the making, aims to ensure that the arts are recognised as a profession and that professional artists are protected by written contracts and industry standard fees. Local 107.3 FM spoke with Julie Whitenecht, Executive Director of St John member-based arts service organisation ArtsLink MB, about the history of the bill and its passage through the legislature, as well as the hope it may offer to the province's many artists.
The proposed bill was born out of the Premier's report on the status of the artist that was published in 2021, outlining certain things that the New Brunswick arts community wanted to see in a law that recognizes artists as important part of the workforce and as community builders and economic drivers, and outlines kind of what a definition is that is accepted by the arts community and kind of mirrors that of various other jurisdictions, and how to qualify in order to engage in these contracts that the government holds, similar to other types of vendors that the government would contract with. It outlines the requirement for government and its kind of subcontractors to adhere to industry standard fee scales, which is, we don't see in other status of the artist laws. So we're going a bit further with this one, which is really great. I'm sure, as you may know, that often artists are asked to do a lot of work for free, or they're given less than what would be a standard wage for doing work, and it's a bit undervalued but also necessary. So artists are often engaging contracts that are below even minimum wage if we're factoring in all the work that's being done. And another element is have mandatory contracts and to have kind of the arts community vet the artists that are, instead of having the government determine who is an artist, having it come from the community.
I did have a question about who can qualify as an artist, who is accredited as an artist and how they become accredited. Are you saying that is through artists, through people's peers?
Yeah, so as it stands now, and if we think about one of the simplest contracts, programs to bring professional artists into schools, and how you would qualify to be on that list is determined by the people kind of delivering that program, which may not be the right people to assess whether or not an artist is a professional artist or not. So one of the aims of this bill is to ensure that the arts associations are the ones who are led by artists, are the ones determining, yes, you have qualified. And there will be like very clear regulations and very clear set of criteria and how you would prove or how you would apply to receive the professional status in order to get these contracts. It doesn't necessarily mean if you don't have this accreditation that you're not a professional artist, but if you want to engage in these government contracts, then, you know, just like any other vendor, you have to go through an application process. It's not intended to exclude people who are professional artists or to make them feel like they haven't quite reached that level yet, but it is a very accessible definition. There will be a bit of an education piece around this. So many people don't know that there are industry standard fee scales, or many people who are engaging with artists don't necessarily know. Hope is that there will be a series of like toolkits available. So even if you aren't, a government department who is engaging with artists, or one of their subcontractors engaging with artists, and you are a private business who wants to engage with artists, then these tools will be available. So it will reduce the barrier. The more information that is public and easy to access, then I think the higher chances that more of these activities will take place, even outside of the mandatory regulations in the law.
I would like to sort of dig in a little bit to potential issues that may come up. I mean, is there a sense that it could be seen by some sectors of the arts as kind of like gatekeeping who can be an artist, who is an artist, and if the requirements in the bill might cut off certain other more informal kind of like routes into the arts and informal contracts and agreements? Mm-hmm. And difficulties for the smaller kind of like creators and organizations.
Yeah, it's absolutely not the intent to to be gatekeeping or be restricting how artists can engage, but rather ensuring that when they are engaging with contractors that they're treated properly. That many artists will tell you that contracts are a bit rare, and you know, outlining the terms of a project is rare, but it's not rare in other fields. There's always room and space, and it's always important to have community arts projects and emerging artists access programs, and all of those things still need to happen. But if we are talking about the primary source of income for many artists is through grant programs or through organizations that are putting on festivals or events or initiatives and hiring artists, then those artists should be treated appropriately. Many arts organizations also see really low incomes and revenue streams, and there are a lot of struggles with that. And ArtsLink is very aware, as arts organization, cultural workers, and artists are all of our members. So all of these elements are top of mind for us. And we know that private sponsorship is down, and municipal spending is down, and provincial spending has been stagnant for 10 years, and New Brunswick is the 9th, if not 10th, lowest investor in arts and culture provincially in Canada. So in order for this to work, there needs to be a meaningful increase to the funding that is available for the organizations and for that infrastructure. Otherwise, it's not going to be feasible for the organizations who are barely putting programming together now, and they're being very creative with their budgets. They are also struggling, spending all of their capacity trying to put these funds together to then change the way in which they have to spend or give them another element of admin to cover, then that's not fair and not realistic. Arts organizations are not paying artist fees because they don't want to. They want to have programming, and they want to create space for artists and community and emerging artists to all have access and equity, but sometimes that comes at a bit of a cost.
Yeah, and you sort of talked a little bit about how it compares to the other provinces that have brought in similar acts. Is there anything else kind of you want to add?
I think that this requirement for four contracts and the wording that is that, like, the government shall do this, the government is doing this, is different than the language in several other of the laws that say the government will try to do this and hope that that recognition is enough. But unless it comes with policy and it comes with structure, then it doesn't really go anywhere. The law is reviewed every 5 years. There's a stipulation there, which is good because art is changing constantly, and there may be some things that need to be adjusted. You know, AI is a whole thing that we had quite a lot of discussions about. If we kind of take away the responsibility or the need for the artist to also do the advocating, like, that is the reason that unions exist and labor laws exist, and all we are hoping for is that artists will also be covered and considered workers. I was there during the first reading of the bill, and it was a very emotional day for those of us who have been working on it, but we were really encouraged to see the support by the representatives in the Legislative Assembly on all sides to finally see it get to the original point, which was to put forward a law that was comprehensive and had a bit of teeth to it, is really exciting.
This is Iona Coe for Local 107.3 FM and the Local Journalism Initiative.